This is General Semantics, September 20th, 1963. We'll proceed now, even though there are some absentees, but I think we've done everything we can about it, and the mix-up was a little hard to achieve the communication we needed to achieve in order to handle it. You have information on the board that I believe is pretty much adequate for the housekeeping details. I'd like to have you meet the assistants, Joan Pitzner, at the back there by the projector. Mr. LeCan. Augie LeCan here?
There's Augie.
And you notice their office. In East Hall, in the middle of the building on the third floor, C307, East Hall. And they have an office hour, which is from 3 to 5, Tuesdays and Thursdays. My office is in East Hall also.
E13.
That's the office you enter to get an appointment. And I can be seen by appointment and easily. If you have problems, you should go to Joan and or Augie. If they cannot help you, if they cannot handle the problem that you have, and I'll be glad to do what I can. There's a necessity, as you know, for me to report a grade for each one of you at the end of the term. I think personally that this is perhaps very undesirable thing, one of the evils of education as we know it, but I have tried to do all I can about it, and there seems to be practically nothing I can do about it. I think it tends to make it pretty difficult to do what I would like to do, but we have to operate with it. Up to now, we have had essay examinations. You know, we had large numbers, but this year the number, if the cards we have are to be trusted, is probably too great. We will try to continue to have some essay exams, and these essay exams were open book. I mean, they were not memory tests at all. And so far as we can do it, we will continue this, but we probably will have to mix in some objective type examination, but I don't like, but we'll do the best we can. Now we're going to make an assignment in that connection, and I will be perfectly open and above board with you about this assignment. This assignment is to accomplish a number of different purposes. The assignment is for you to turn in one true-false question and one four-response multiple-choice item for each chapter of People in Quandary. Now, we're doing this for a number of reasons, as I said. One is that this will make possible, I think, a better total pool of items than we could get any other way. It's very difficult to write good, objective type examinations, the kind that make you think and not just remember or regurgitate. So when you make out these questions, try hard to make them thought questions. And we will also make up questions. We will edit what you turn in. We may not use what you turn in. It's an effort to get a better pool. Now, I've assigned the dates on these, however, for another reason. I think it is highly desirable for you to read the material that is assigned at the time when I would be lecturing about it. There is a tendency, I think, at least for some students, to wait for just before an examination and then cram. And so they have heard lectures about material that they have not been familiar with. I would like to try to encourage you or induce you or somehow make it highly advantageous for you to read the textbook along with me, or a little ahead of me. And so I have some dates.
So one true false, and one for response item over each chapter.
People in quandaries.
The questions for chapter one are due September 27. What's that?
Right.
Chapter two, October 2. Chapters 3 and 4, October 4. Chapters 5 and 6, October 7. Chapter 7. October 9. Chapter 8 and 9. October 16. And chapter 10. October 18. That is one item I did not get to talk to August and Joan about. Is that going to work? That will help you to read a little more thoughtfully, trying to decide after you have read a chapter what are the most important things in it, and how can you word a question about them so that it will not just be a memory question, but will call for judgment, for evaluation, in order to answer it. Even if there's an objective type of item. There will be readings, as your outline indicates. The starred books are, in general, those that are easier to read than the unstarred. They are smaller than the unstarred. The unstarred books are the more substantial, in general, the larger, it takes more time. I don't like to use the word advanced and elementary for these books. There are some persons for whom any book they read would be elementary, others any book they read would be advanced.
because they think more about what they read. For some persons, the Gettysburg Address is elementary. For others, it is a lifelong challenge. For some of you, the books that are small and supposedly simple will keep you thinking the rest of your life, and they are therefore more important than some of the larger books that appear to be more substantial. But I have divided them this way because partly of the time consideration. It takes longer to read an unstarred book in general. And by academic standards, we would be here for the rest of the week defining that if we were to dig into it enough. They are more advanced by academic standards. The readings are a sampling of a very, very vast literature. They are among the books which are the most relevant to the central purposes of the course. But if you should like to read another book that isn't on the list, if you will let me know what it is, I'll be glad to consider it with you. Now, this will be a fairly large audience, provided there are as many coming as the cards indicate. It is anyway, even with this size audience. The easiest thing to do would be to give a lecture course. And you come and listen, and I will come and yak. And I will do some lecturing. This is a lecture course. We can't easily conduct it any other way. But I would like to modify it in order to get some interaction among you and for me with you. Now, the most obvious way to do this is for me to call on you to recite. I don't want recitation. I want thinking. I want you to want to talk. I don't want you to wait to be called on. The world is not going to wait. You won't get anywhere that way after you leave the university. You don't wait to be called on. You speak up. But how to get you to speak up? If we just throw it open, what happens, as you know, is that 80% of the talking is done by 5% of the students during the course of the semester, which is fine for the 5%, that is most of them. It isn't always an unmixed blessing. But it isn't too good for the 80%. I tried a procedure one year when they had me doing this course on the air, and to make it a better course to listen to over the radio, I had a panel each time. I had six students around the table with me, and the microphones were on the table, and I would lecture, but now and then I would stop the lecture and I would ask for the students, or they would interrupt me, and try to get them not to recite, but to pool their information, their opinions, their views, their feelings, their hopes, their despairs, whatever they had to pool about the matter at hand. I'm sure from the reactions that this made for better radio listening, I'm sure that it made for better education. It was much more interesting, I think, for all of us. I've never found the architect who seemed to have my educational philosophy. Almost all The schoolrooms are designed for people, to arrange people so that they look at the backs of each other's heads. And this, if you were to appoint a committee to come up with the design for a schoolroom least likely to stimulate education, this is it. The least we could do would be to get something in the round. With a large class, it would be difficult. We're going to try something like that table we had when we were on the air. And so we're going to try to see how it works for four students each time to be down here in the chairs. And they are to constitute themselves a feedback panel. And when I say something especially outlandish, they're to give me some feedback. And now, just a minute. Or I don't know how it will go. It's possible I won't say anything outlandish. There's an outlandish statement. If they don't speak up, not just to ask questions, but to ask, to ask the usual kind of questions, or to ask for clarification, or to challenge, or to contribute something out of their own experience, from a movie they saw last night or something, I'll interrupt the lecture and attempt to engage them in some discussion, at least to find out what's happening here. Is anybody listening? Is anybody thinking? Is anybody listening? In a study, it's not in the bibliography, it's a book by Nichols. The title of it is Are You Listening? On page 13 of that book, you'll find a paragraph that will make you weep. Some teachers took part in some research in which all they did was to interrupt themselves now and then and ask the students, what did I just say? By means of that method, they found that in the first grade, 90% of the children were listening on the average at any given moment. In the second grade, 80%. You see what's happening. In the sixth grade, this had fallen to 47%. By high school, it was down to 25 or 23, long enough. Does this make you very, 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 very sad? What's happening here? What do you think's happening? Now, if the panel were here, we'd have some discussion. Let's have a panel. Four people. Come on. This, I think, will work better than trying to talk with the whole classroom. But don't let this keep you silent. If you hear something here that arouses you, be aroused. One more, please. It's your opportunity. You're only going to be in university once. Don't pass up any opportunities. What do you think's happening? Talk up so they can hear you, so the tape recorder can get it.
One question I had was, how do you know that on a particular day during a given lecture, these panel members, or whatever they were called, would be the ones who would be...
So we're going to rotate them by systematic. This is a table of random numbers affair. We will. Everybody will be up here for 1 hour at least. Before January.
I've been digging for something positive to say about what's happening, and it could be that some of the students are learning more to think about than what the teacher is saying as they grow older.
They found that it pays to have their own thoughts rather than to listen.
That's digging pretty deep to get a positive statement.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a theory?
when children begin school, they're very enthusiastic. They really want to come to school. And I've taught them as they get a little bit older. Their enthusiasm wanes, perhaps, if they're not stimulated enough. If they find going a little bit difficult, they're defeated pretty quickly. So the school becomes a tough, sad connotation that so many children have of it. And so as they get older, they pay less and less attention because they're less rewarded.
Is the less rewarded aspect of, is this due, the lack of reward due to, can anything be done about it? Is this just the way education is? It's just dull?
I'm afraid that it seems to be that way from my experience. I don't think it's a good thing. And I think that we need to I'm afraid that the teachers are the ones that need to do some revising and serious thinking.
Well,
I'm not throwing that at you because I am one too.
Well, what kind of thinking are you doing? Is it, are you going to make your explanation in terms of a single individual? You're going to say it's the teacher that's to blame. Now, if you do, well, what do we do about the teacher? Do we recruit other teachers? Or is there some kind of a way to train teachers so they will be inspiring and they won't bore kids to death? Or are you going to explain it in terms of some other pattern of causality? You mean he has other things to do besides listen to the teacher?
Well, yes, sir.
So that the statistic does not bother you, is that what you're saying?
It's I don't say that it doesn't bother me, but I think perhaps it can be caused at least in part by a person having other teachers that would be a little bit dull, and so that
Mm-hmm. Well, in general, you see, you could talk about this either in terms of, as you could try to explain it, by diagnosing the individual teacher or the individual student, or you could become sociological. You could start talking about the kind of a society this is happening in. What are the children going home to every afternoon and living with overnight until school takes up in the morning again? Television have anything to do with it? Or is it the mores? Is it the basic folk thinking which is affecting the child so education doesn't interest him? A good student, I think, can overcome a dull teacher. I think a really good student can listen to a dull teacher. Of course, we don't teach listening. If we did, then I think we would have more students who would be listening, even though what they were listening to was not very exciting. So long as there's any opportunity whatever to learn, they would be taking advantage of it. You think so?
What if the student isn't a good student?
Well, can you make him one? Why isn't he? Again, how do you diagnose the reason for that?
It can be a student with potential who wasn't challenged either because of environment or his initial teacher. It may be a student who doesn't have a potential. And even though the potential is not very high, he's still not been given enough stimulus to work to his fullest capacity, whatever it may be.
Well, now you've had a sampling of the way the panel works. Shall we try it? Are they speaking for you? If not, do you want to chime in? Do you want this kind of interaction? I don't think you can answer that today very well. Perhaps you are used to hearing a teacher lecture for for 50 minutes. And it will take you a few days to decide whether you want more of this. Let's proceed. I wanted to show you what I had in mind as a possible procedure for getting some interaction into the class. Let's take a few moments to talk a little bit about the court. General semantics is concerned with the communication process in all of its ramifications, and with the bodily processes which underlie it, which make it possible, and with its effects in all of their social forms and individual forms. Let's have the first slide, John. I'll see if I can play the light.